business seminar. The guy came up to me Saturday night, and he said, I heard you as a preacher. And I said, yeah. And he said, would you hold a service here tomorrow? A few of the folks might come, not many. We got there. 30 minutes they'd been waiting on us. 375 of the 425 people were waiting for us to get there. So we did a service. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't amazing. I've never done anything amazing in my life, and I doubt you're ever going to do anything amazing. The only person in this world that thinks I'm amazing is my wife. And I think I'm making that up in my own head. Let me tell you about the sermon. I preached about how great God was, and I mentioned some of my heroes, and I said something about George Washington being a hero. When it was over, one guy said, listen, you're in England, buddy. We got George Washington in the book here, but we don't have him in the hero section. We got finished with that service, and over 100 people responded. We went down to a sports center. We had rented the end of a swimming pool, and a friend of mine was with me. And before we were done, we had baptized 62 people after that one service. Some people came up and said, what are y'all doing? My friend preached the gospel to them, baptized 5 more. He stayed there for a year, started 5 home Bible studies and 2 New Testament churches out of that one service. That was amazing. That was God doing something amazing. I was preaching in the Kaim Issues 2 weeks later. When I got done telling about this and came off the stage, a guy came to me and he said, now you're holding that back. You're not telling us the secret. Like I'm going to have a secret how to bring a lot of people to Christ. I'm going to keep it to myself. I said, there is no secret. He would not leave me alone, kind of like the lady in the restaurant one time. She insisted, before I had hair here, she insisted I was Rush Limbaugh. She would not go away. So I just signed her menu. Best wishes, Rush Limbaugh. I don't even know if I spelled his name right. But he would not leave me alone, so I finally said, okay, write this down. Here's the secret to baptizing 62 people after one service. There has to be a minimum of 62 people in the room who have never been baptized. There you go. You're going to keep preaching to baptized people, you're probably not going to get a lot of results for baptizing. You know what I'm saying? God knows how to do amazing things. I was raised in a church where you had to kind of be quiet in our church, Church of Christ, and this lady got to saying amen during the sermon, and pretty soon, next thing you know, she was saying hallelujah, and finally she let off with a praise the Lord. So the deacons finally went to her and said, listen, lady, what is wrong with you? And she said, oh, nothing wrong with me. I got the Spirit. And they said, well, you didn't get it here. That's the kind of church I was raised in. And if you said Holy Spirit too many times, they'd come in and take you into a meeting and find out if you'd converted and become a Baptist-costal or something. You know what I'm saying? So you had to be careful talking about the amazing things God could do. But now I'm old and I live in Oklahoma in the mountains and I just don't care. So I'm going to start telling you about things that God will do. And let me just give you this word of encouragement. Just because some people got this Holy Spirit thing all confused does not mean that God cannot do amazing things. Amen? God's still the same God today as he was yesterday, and he's going to be the same God forever. God still has the power today to do amazing things. We serve a God that does amazing things. Amen on that? Now, here's the question I got. Let's ask some questions. What causes God to do amazing things? Shouldn't we have an answer to that? Wouldn't you like to know the answer to that? Is there a trigger? So, well, just a minute now. You're telling me you can get God to do stuff? Yeah. All through the Bible, people have been able to get God to do things and not do things. How do you get God to do something amazing in your life? Is there a trigger? And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I think it's found in this verse. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Isn't that cool? See, Moses was leading the children of Israel. He sent 12 spies in to take a look. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came back with a positive report. Who remembers that? The other 10 were scared, and because of people believing their testimony, the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now Moses has died. Joshua's in charge. He's sending spies into the same promised land. And I don't know, ask some of your professors if there's any meaning to this. He only sent 2. I guess he figured he didn't need 10 guys who didn't know about God to tell him anything. Sound like some of the board meetings I've been in churches. Ooh, that was a low blow. I'm going to tell you what, all I need is two people who know who God is and what God can do, and I don't need 10 others telling me we can't do it. Amen? I believe this is where this scripture comes in. In fact, as soon as he got this report from these guys, they met Rahab. Remember that? Here's what Joshua said. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I like consecration. That's a good word. I like the last definition, to associate with the sacred. Didn't Jesus do that a lot? Didn't Jesus get off and associate with the sacred? If you want to consecrate yourself, listen to this. First thing you got to learn to do is separate yourself. You got to get away from everything, all the noise, your laptop, all the other students. You got to get away from everybody. Get off in this solitary place. Jesus did that all the time. You remember that? In fact, for 40 days he went one time off by himself. When you get off by yourself, God can talk to you a little bit. If you add that to saturation, let me tell you what you need to saturate yourself with. It ain't the latest Rick Warren book. It ain't the latest Max Lucado book. What you need to saturate yourself with is the Word of God. That's what Jesus used. When he was in the desert and the devil came to tempt him, he quoted the Word of God. Now, isn't that interesting? The Word of God saturated himself with the Word of God. And if he did that, how much more should we? And if you'll multiply that by supplication. Now, that's just a fancy word for prayer, but I didn't want my homiletics professor to think I wasn't listening, and that started with an S. Yeah, baby. If you spend time in prayer, now, did Jesus spend time in prayer? He would go off away from the disciples, and he would pray, and he would come back, and them old boys weren't even roasting hot dogs or nothing. They was asleep. If the Son of God needs time in prayer, what do you think we might need? So if you separate yourself, saturate yourself with God's Word, and then pray, 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 that equals, look at here, consecration. That equals association with the sacred. That has to happen. Then he says, for tomorrow, not today, not right now. Can I tell you how many times in over 40 years of ministry have I heard people tell me, well, if God would do something amazing, I would believe in him. Let me tell you something. That is not true. Jesus did amazing things for 3 years and most people didn't believe in him. Consecration comes first. Belief and faith comes first. After that, we get God doing something amazing. It's called delayed gratification. We live in the microwave society. Would you agree with that? We want it right now. I moved to Oklahoma and bought a new microwave. My old microwave, when I pushed a one, understood I wanted 1 minute. You didn't even have to push start, just push a one, it took off. My new microwave, when I push a one, thinks I want 1 second. I have prayed for this microwave. I have talked to this microwave. I have pushed buttons on this microwave, and it still thinks I want 1 second. Now, I want to ask you a question. What food do you know will cook in 1 second? I don't believe there's a food that'll cook in 1 second. I believe you could take food in a plate and blow on it real hard and cook it as much as you could in a microwave in 1 second. And if you can't cook food in 1 second, why do they have a 1 second setting? I got to push a one, then I got to push a O, then I got to push a O. And even after that, it doesn't know I'm ready. I got to push start. Ain't nobody got time for that. I'm right about that one. I'm just telling you. Then it says the Lord. Listen, not you, not any man. All them guys on TV talking about what amazing things they're doing, they're not doing nothing amazing. Because if anything amazing happens, it's because the Lord does it, amen? And he gets the credit. Then it says he will do. Not he might do, he could do. He hope he will. We all sound like a bunch of Indian tribes. The hope he will do's. Is God going to bless you this week? Well, I hope he will. Isn't that the way we sound? Is God going to give us the victory in the promised land? Well, Joshua said, I hope he will. Hope we don't get crushed like the ants that we are. Is that what he said? He didn't say, hope he will do. He said what? Will do. That's a promise, and I like that promise. And he's going to do amazing things, unusual things, unexpected things. Can we say supernatural things right here? Isn't God the God of supernatural? Here's what Ephesians tells us, beyond all you can ask, anything you can think about, he can do greater beyond all of that. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's the kind of God we serve. Listen, and where is he going to do it? Not somewhere else, not some other church, not with some other group. He's going to do it where? Among you. Listen, you're the key to this happening. Now that ought to excite you. I'm in control of whether or not God does amazing things among me. I'm in charge of that. It's all up to you. When I was in school, not here, but when I was in elementary school, my teachers used to say quite often to me, keep your nose out of other people's business. Anybody ever say that to you? They used to follow it with this. You have a full-time job just taking care of you. I think they teach that line to teachers in college. But you know what? That teacher's right. We got a full-time job just taking care of ourselves. And if we'll get ourselves right, then God can do something amazing among us. I lived in a day when if you didn't take care of you, somebody would take care of you. You know what I'm talking about? When I went to school, the teachers carried a paddle in their hand. And if you didn't take care of you, they'd be happy to take care of you. God is still in that program. Let me tell you, he does not give out trophies for people who show up and join the team and don't keep score. He gives out trophies for people who show up and play hard and win. That's the program God's in. When I was raised, there was no such thing as ADHD. Let me just tell you. We called it ornery. And some kids were more ornery than other kids and needed a little more assistance to become un-ornery. Know what I'm saying? My mother had ever gotten a note from my teacher that said, we think your son might be a little ADHD. She'd have called that teacher up and said, teacher, I'm not sure what that is, but I'm going to guarantee you one thing. When I get done with that boy tonight, he will not have it tomorrow. Know what I'm saying? If you didn't take care of you, somebody would be happy to take care of you. You ever heard of Annie Oakley? She used to put up a mirror, put a rifle on her shoulder, and she'd shoot from the mirror behind her, a deadly act. My mother could do that. She'd go down to highway 75 miles an hour. She'd reach up and adjust that mirror. Somebody in the back seat, one of us four kids with no seatbelts on because we didn't have them. Somebody doing something wrong, she'd adjust that mirror, buddy, that arm, come over that back seat and strike the offender. She wouldn't even look behind her, never even take her foot off the gas pedal. I'm going to tell you, we called that a backhand, a concept we may need to reintroduce to society today. My daddy came home one time with a 1961 Chevrolet, four-door Bel Air station wagon, blue in color, took me around to the back and raised the window and let down the gate, reached up and pulled these two handles, and there was a seat in the back. I said to myself, self, that is where you're going to sit, because there ain't no way that woman can reach that far. I'm not stupid. We're going down the highway 75 miles an hour. My mother's telling me to do something. She's adjusting that mirror. There ain't no way she can get me. I change nothing. I'm out of range. All of a sudden, that arm comes over the back of that seat, slaps my brother right in the mouth, and she says, pass that on to your little brother. Listen, if you don't take care of you, God will take care of you. It'd be better if you took care of you. Here's the question we got to ask. Is God doing amazing things among you? And that's kind of a scary question because if we work it backwards, I think we know why or why not at this point. So we have to ask the question, why not? We have the courage to ask the question, why not? I love this verse. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Isn't that beautiful? The eyes of the Lord range. You know what range means? A cowboy used to go out and ride the range. What was he doing out there? He was looking. What was he looking for? He didn't know. He was just looking. That's riding the range. We have a 100-acre horse ranch up in Indiana, and I used to saddle up my horse and go out and ride the range. My wife would call me on my cell phone. Note to self, do not take your cell phone when you ride the range. She'd say, what are you doing? I said, I'm riding the range. She said, what's that mean? I said, I'm looking. She said, what are you looking for? I said, I don't know. I'm just riding the range. That's what you do. She said, get home, take out the trash, do something useful. She didn't get the whole concept. But God's eyes are ranging. They're out looking. What are they looking for? They're looking for somebody who's fully committed to Him, and He's going to ride right over there and help them. What about that? How many of you want to get God's attention? I'm not asking you when you leave this place to go do something amazing, because I'm going to guarantee you before you even get out the door, you're not amazing and you're doing nothing amazing. Here's what I'm asking you. Commit yourself fully to God. Keep yourself consecrated and then step back and let God do amazing things among you. I'm going to tell you, we serve an amazing God who does amazing things. He's not finished doing amazing things down in Oklahoma at the Kaimishi Mountain Christian Mission. He's not finished doing amazing things at Dallas Christian College, and He's done a lot of amazing things here. And listen to me, He's not done. In fact, He just started doing amazing things with you. Thank you for listening.